Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Welcome to everybody's favorite show on YouTube about rafting, filmed in Oregon in a small dungeon where we answer questions. It's the best show out there that fits that category. Thanks for being here, and we're just going to answer questions today. This is it. Our agenda is super simple. We're going to jump right into questions. And I want to thank David for becoming a member. A member is somebody who pays a couple bucks a month, supports the channel. Like, I don't need $2 a month, but it helps me justify spending money on the channel. So when I go out and buy a new PFD to test, or I drop a GoPro in the river filming something, I just don't stress about it. The crash of drone, it gives me a little bit of a budget to spend on the show, and it just shows me that you guys like it, and it makes me feel good. So David, thank you for becoming a member. Those of you that want to become members, sweet. I do sometimes upload footage that's members only, and that's usually the footage that I don't want to make public. It's like I have a river accident or something as controversial that I just don't want to put out to the real world. I just put it to members only. I haven't done one for a while, but they are coming. And I don't have a schedule for them. It's just like a video that I have that I don't, again, want to share. I don't want all the world to see it, but I think members appreciate it. With that, let's get going. The first question is, how's the wind race? Awesome. I dominated, but also it's because I drew the ace and got to go first. So some AW staff and board and families were planning on paddling the Rogue April 6th to 8th after the board meeting. I guess that's like 5 days. But it looks like the flow forecast shows 40K. Thoughts on the Rogue eye flows? First of all, I don't know is there a flow forecast for the Rogue? I just can't imagine the Rogue staying that high for that long. So let me look up really quick. I guess there is a prediction service. That's cool. And let's see what the prediction is, because I'm having a hard time believing that, honestly. Share screen. Here we go. Rogue River Grants Pass. So this question was probably asked a while ago, because the forecast I see shows it being at 7,000. So I just, the forecasts, I'm guessing this question came in like 3 or 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm just getting to it now. The 10-day forecasts are just completely like useless. They just don't know what's happening that far in advance. And to keep a river at 40,000, a river that like typically is at 4 or 5,000, at 40,000 that long requires just an enormous amount of rain. So it's not going to be 40,000. I can tell from the forecast. But the question is, what's it like? It's awesome. I don't know. It's really interesting. It's really cool. Mule Creek Canyon's pretty much full at that level. There's usually waterfalls coming in off the sides. It goes fast. Like, you could do it a day pretty easily. It's nice to spend the night out there so you can go hike. The time I've done it that high, we camped at Rogue River Ranch, really high up, which was cool, and walked down Mule Creek Canyon first and just saw it pumping through there. It was just really cool. Blossom's hard. You know, Blossom could flip you. You could get into trouble at Blossom pretty easily. But I wouldn't call it any more difficult than Class 4. I wouldn't call it Class 5. And for the most part, it was all like Class 3-ish still. As Class 3 as a river kind of flooding can be. You know, there's the extra dangers of a long swim, of trees in the river, debris, big boy lines. You know, that could take what you call Class 3 moves, and by adding that added hazard, you could call that Class 4 with like a hazard modifier. But the individual moves themselves, I would say, if I remember right, were all Class 3. I did it in an 18-foot gearboat, so it can't be that hard. And of course, Blossom was a little bit of a beast. You want to pull over early to scout. I have some friends that missed the scout eddy, and they just went into a blind and went fine. But definitely want to scout high so you can get a good scout. But Yeah, that's my thoughts. But again, I don't think it's going to be 40,000. And maybe I'm looking at the wrong graph, but yeah, to have it maintained at 40,000 for more than a couple of days takes just a ridiculous storm. Okay. Oh, my light's flickering over here. It kind of looks like it's creepy. All right, let's move on. Next question. Oh, there's a lot. High flow PFD. I'm going to skip through some of this. For those of you that listen to this as a podcast, you can't see what's on the screen, but it's a bunch of information. Okay, I have a question. If I may, many years ago, you answered my question on a recommendation for a PFD. You recommended the CoQ10 Maximus. That's interesting. I haven't recommended that for a long time, but good to hear. It's a PFD that has always kind of had its place. And I have one now. I've been paddling with it for like a month straight. I have very complex thoughts about that PFD, like most. But overall, the CoQ10 Maximus, especially the new one, is great. I don't love kayaking in it, but it's okay for kayaking. I've had two of them, and since I'm typing this email, they have both done their job perfectly. Great. Yeah, great PFD. Sadly, both the second Maximus and I are going long in the tooth. I think it might be time to up my flotation. Yeah, so I think the regular Maximus has like 16 pounds. And then the one I have, the extra large, is 18. So like a still low float, but like better than the minimum. Doing a bit of looking, there seems to be two out there that have 22 pounds of flotation. The NRS Big Water Guide and the Astronomist. Boom, nailed it. Those are the two. I vaguely recall that you were not a big fan of NRS PFDs. I am generally not a fan of a lot of stuff NRS makes. But their PFDs are actually getting better. Like, I actually don't dislike them as much as I used to. Yeah. And I do seem to prefer the Astral. Yeah, most people do. Astral is a cool brand. It's just cool. Though the rescue harness is a little unnecessary for me to have, since I could not imagine any situation being improved by being live bait. Hallelujah to that. I can't think of any rafter that has, honestly, any use for a live bait rescue harness. 50% of them have them, but like, if somebody's gonna tell me, well, this one time, like, there was a paddle stuck in an eddy, and that's how I rescued the paddle. That's not a rescue, that's equipment retrieval, it's a paddle. Like, I would never tie myself to a rope to go get a paddle. Or I had my raft stuck in an eddy and somebody had to go get it. Cool. But like, I just don't see the value. For kayakers, there's some value. For rafters, somebody's gonna have to convince me that there's value for that. Okay, anyway, so happy for saying that. If you have thoughts on these two or any others, it'd be really greatly appreciated. Yeah, so those are the two. If you want to have flotation as an adult person, that's basically what you're choosing between, the NRS Big Water Guide and the Astrolimbus. I'm going to call those medium float. I'm going to say high float is like 26 pounds up. And there are high float PFDs. There's the ones our customers wear. And there's some rescue PFDs that are high float. And I'm going to call these medium float because I don't want you to think you are in a, like, you can go with more flotation. And the manufacturers should be making these 26-pound PFDs. There are dudes that are, you know, 270 pounds that would appreciate a 26-pound PFD. And a lot of you are saying, well, people are neutrally buoyant. Like, it doesn't keep their head above surface. Okay, sure, whatever. That might be true. I'm sure the science is there. But when you're underwater 5 feet down, flotation puts force in your body. And if they think it's Newton's second law, F equals ma, flotation pushes you to the surface faster. Given a mass, a certain mass, and a force, if you want more acceleration, up that force. So like, it's, if you're just floating down the river, maybe your body's neutrally buoyant. Maybe flotation doesn't help. Practically, I can tell you, I flow higher when I have more flotation. So that's just practically what I've seen. But we can debate the science if you want, the math. But you can't debate. If you go deep underwater and you're held down for a bit, you want to get to the surface faster. And that's what flotation really does for you. So that's why I'm so into calling these medium float PFDs, because the world deserves a true high flow PFD, a couple. So between the two of these medium float PFDs, I like them both. I've worn the Big Water Guide and the Indus, both rafting. They're both good. If you want to look cool, get the Indus. If you don't mind looking like a dweeb, get the NRS one. I think the NRS one's slightly better. It's easier to put on because it has a zip up the front. You're not going to do yoga to put it on over your head. It's the Astral comes in cool colors. The NRS comes in nerd colors. The NRS has bigger pockets, although they're kind of annoying. It has bigger pockets. They're not like the best. And this is kind of, they claim it has a lot of pocket space, but it's not the best pocket space. But I'd say they're both great. I think the one thing about the Indus is it's designed for kayaking. And I wish that Astral or somebody would think about rafters first. Like they would design PFDs for rafters. That would be really cool. Because the Indus is meant to sit high. So on me, it just sits too high. Like you want flotation lower. Again, if some of the flotation's out of the water, it's not helping you. You want the flotation lower. So when you're in the water, it's all pushing up on your body. And it just fits you better when it's around your whole body. So the Indus also sticks out a bit more. And so it's harder to get back in the boat. But again, it looks cool. So like a tough decision, cooler colors. So I, you know, if you want more flotation, I think either one are fine. There's not a lot of other good options out there. There used to be the Canyon by Stolquist. There used to be a bunch of PFDs from MTI, but after Mustang bought them, they stopped making a lot of them. So those are your choices. And I'd say either one's cool, honestly. Whatever you think looks cooler. Yeah, Mike has a comment. The Big Water pockets, you know, yeah, that... Man, it's not the pockets, the hand warmers. So this is an issue. I know for a fact that a lot of people that make this stuff don't actually use it in the real world. And so they don't test these things. And one major problem with the NRS up here. Okay. So it's the pockets are fine. It's these little hand warmer things behind the pockets that you could like, they're like little mini pockets. And so when you bring your oar back, it's not when you're shipping, it's fine. It's when you come back, the handle can get stuck in the pocket. It's very frustrating and could cause a problem. So you have to when you're running that PFD, you have to be really careful bringing the handle by. Anybody who is a decent oars person who spent any time rowing that PFD would know that right away. Fact that NRS doesn't know that is, you know, as you can imagine, frustrating. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Okay, so it's a long way of saying, I don't know, they're both good. Whichever one, honestly, it's like the NRS one I think is slightly better, safer. The Astro one looks cooler. I don't know, what matters to you more? Slightly safer, slightly looking. I'm not really sure. Okay, so let's keep going. Next question. Mustang dry suit. I saw your video on dry suits, and I'm curious what you think about Mustang's newish neoprene neck dry suit. I don't think I have a couple of Mustang dry suits. I really like them, the ones that I have. And I don't know if they changed the design since I got them. I really like it. I think that, oh, I gotta shut this door. Hold on. All right. So, I can't tell you what the new dry suits are. I don't think this is a new dry suit you're talking about. They've had this for a while. When I went to Mustang's headquarters and helped them come up with some designs for a new dry suit for rafters. This is like 5 years ago. And they gave me, and it's hard to see this. Actually, let me see if I can pull this up. Mustang. They have a really unique net closure, and it's not designed for rafting. So, but it's a thing that they do. And I don't think right now Mustang is trying that hard to, is trying that hard to get rafters or kayakers. They were for a while, but I don't think they are. So this is the Hudson dry suit. I think this is the one. And if you zoom in, accept that. It says neoprene wrist cuffs. And I have the neoprene wrist cuffs, and they're awesome. I love the neoprene wrist cuffs. They're not gaskets. They're just really tight. Oh, is insane. They're just really tight neoprene, and they work great. I love them. And an adjustable CCS neck seal. Give it a customizable fit. I think the problem with this, how can I get back to that photo? Okay. Not that photo, this photo. If you can see this, you can't really see this, but I'm going to circle it right here. Is this drawstring closure thing where you can tighten it and then it's a valid neck seal. Like, so, you know, a lot of us, I wore a dry suit all day yesterday. I didn't want to wear a dry suit all day yesterday. The neck thing bothers me. And so I'd like to loosen it. I would be stoked. I think this works if you're sailing. And a lot of what Mustang does is sailing. You're like, oh, in 3 minutes, the sailboat is going to sink. Let me tighten up my neck gasket. In whitewater, you go in the water instantaneously, unexpectedly. If you go out and that neck seal is out, the suit takes on water, the suit's a hazard. So I don't think this is appropriate for whitewater, because unless you like tighten it all the whole time you're paddling, and then when you need to lunch, loosen it, I guess maybe that isn't a bad idea. They stand behind it. They love this neck seal. And Cocotan or Mustang has some like great technology. They've ran this dry suit for a while. When I went to help them design a dry suit for paddlers, they went to give me a dry suit with this neck seal. And I said, hey guys, thanks, but no thanks. Like I just won't wear this. Like I need it. I don't need an adjustable neck seal. This is whitewater. And they ended up putting a real gasket in there and sending me the right one. That's the one that I'm using. So I would say, like, I don't think this is a good idea for whitewater. And you can see their photos. It's like sea kayaking. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you tighten up when you're kayaking and then you pull over, look at an iceberg, and you take it off. You know, this is supping, I guess. They've had this technology for a long time. This is what they mainly sold. And I convinced them for a while to put real neck gaskets on for whitewater paddlers. So I guess the use case would be like yesterday at lunch, I took off my PFD, took off my dry suit because I wanted to get the neck gasket off. Maybe like you have it tight the whole time you're in the river, but then when you pull over for lunch, you loosen it. Maybe. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. I just feel like it's a slippery slope. Like you'll be floating down the river and like, I'm not going to fall out. Let me loosen it. And then you'll be, you know, it needs to be tight when you're on the river. Falling into the river with, like falling into the ocean would be a bummer for sure. If your dry suit filled with water, you're like, I'm in the ocean full of water. You'd be cold. But like, it's not as much of a hazard as in whitewater. Because in whitewater, you need to make progress toward shore. And when your dry suit's full of water, you're just this big blob. You can't like really swim. You're just like, I'm a big blob of water. You can't make progress towards a boat, towards shore, or anything. And if somebody tries to tow you by the kayak, you're just so heavy with that water, it's hard to tow you. It's hard to rescue you on a river when you're full of water. Again, if you fall in the ocean, a lot of times you're just in the ocean waiting for somebody to come. You're not like swimming to the shore. You know, sometimes you're like 12 miles away, like you're waiting for the helicopter or like your sea kayaking buddy to come in a motorboat. So I think that this is a good, thoughtful design for like ocean sports, lakes, but it's a real hazard potentially for whitewater. Okay, I think I beat this one to death, so we're going to move on. Hopefully it answers that question well enough. Let's go back. Cool. Oh, that's it. That's all the – oh, wait, there's one more question. I know there's at least one more. Okay. And one idea for a future YouTube segment, how to assemble the right crew for your next private trip, personality, skills, chores, kids, no kids, shared goals, etc. I've been fortunate to be on some great Grand Canyon and salmon trips, and it's been thanks to a strong vision and leadership from permit holders, trip leaders. This is one of those suggestions I've had a few times. That's why I put it up here. And I don't do private trips. If I do a private trip, it's like me and two friends going kayaking on an overnight trip. I work as a guide on a number of rivers, and I can't even get away to do private trips. So like the biggest private trip I've done a couple Grand Canyon trips privately, and it's just a roll of dice. I just get invited. I don't have control over who's invited, what happens. I just trust the trip leader. So I have no experience with this. I am the absolute wrong person to ask about this. I mean, personalities, nice people, skills, river skills, chores, make a chore list, kids, no kids. I would do no kids. Shared goals, have fun. Like that's what I would do. But man, I don't have an answer for this. So like what I share in the channel a lot is like how to run rivers, how to be safe, safety stuff. But like organizing a private trip, I could come up with some made up answers, but I'm the wrong person to ask. Bodhi at Private Whitewater, he might be a great person to ask. This is kind of what he does. There's that website, Riverbent. I think it's Riverbent. I'll bring it up because it just changed how the software works. I think it's Riverbent. Yeah, riverbent.com. Michelle Crockett, she was on a podcast with Tate. And you can even see her podcast right here, Safety First with Danger Tate. This is what she does. Like, this is the person to ask. Like, I would make up a stupid answer. Michelle would have the answer. She's very experienced private boater, done a lot of trips, seen a lot of stuff, has a website. I mean, I bet if we looked hard, we could find the answer here somewhere. More advertising. Okay. Maybe, I don't know, planning a trip. I'm sure somewhere here there's like a guide to organizing people. Anyway, organizing people is hard. It's just difficult. Okay, well, that's it for today's show. Thank you, members. Thank you for those of you that watched this thing. Thank you. 20, 30 minutes a week when we get to do this show and I get to answer questions. So thank you all for supporting the show. And I think I'll see you all next week. Yeah, I hope so. All right. Have a good.